This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. Presented by Mosing Motor Cars. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are live here in Austin, Texas, and we are fired up because we've got a great show tonight. We've got Formula One starts testing in 7 hours from right now. You're going to have Formula One cars on track. And this is John Massengill. I got Les Kaiser sitting next to me.
And, oh, yeah.
And on the line tonight, we've got Jonathan Green, of course, down from finishing up in New Zealand for the Toyota Racing Series. But we also have Mr. Steve Martin, the voice of World Superbikes and MotoGP for Fox Sports Australia. Steve Martin, I'm going to go to you first. Welcome to the show, buddy.
Thanks, guys. It's really good to be here, as always. I guess I haven't spoken to you since the MotoGP last year, so I've had a bit of off time in the summer here, so it's good to be back.
So what keeps you busy during your summer?
Well, I do this one race per year, the Phillip Island Classic. It's a classic race down here where, I get to ride around and race against a few guys. But this year, my summer wasn't so relaxed because there was a few Americans that came over and rained on our parade. No other than a guy called Colin Edwards. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Vaguely.
Texas. Another guy called Jason Pridmore. And also Jake Zemke came down. So three very high-profile American rider names that came here and sort of upset me a little bit because they were very fast on my track, and that's not how it's meant to be.
Hey, well, we just got word from our producer that an old friend of yours is on the phone. Steve, we got Jonathan Green. Buddy, how's it going, man?
Who's this Steve Martin guy?
You might have heard of him.
I've heard of him. How are you, Steve?
You guys are really trying to upset me now, aren't you?
Now, listen, Steve. Are you coming to MotoGP at the Circuit of the Americas in April? Because you're invited by Speed City. They're paying.
I was there at the first one, Jonathan, and I loved it. I was there at the second one, Jonathan. I've had a couple of years off. I haven't seen your ugly mug for a while now, and you know what? You could almost talk me into it because I love Texas. I love Austin as well. It's a great city.
Well, as we say in Texas, mi casa y tu casa, so get your ass over.
All right, boys. Well, I want to jump right into it because we're going to talk some Formula One here in a minute, but I want to start because we got Steve Martin on the line. I want to start with some two-wheel stuff because the World Superbikes is back in action, and you were there for the whole bit of it this weekend down in Australia, Steve. So what's the big story for this weekend?
Yeah, we had a massive weekend here at Phillip Island. A massive week, really, guys, because on the Monday, Tuesday, the official test got underway at Phillip Island for all the World Superbike riders. They were out on track for a couple of days, testing out their new machines, getting ready for the weekend. But on the weekend, we had two big races. Of course, if you've been following the World Superbike Championship in the past, you'll know that the Kawasaki machines have been pretty much dominant throughout the last 3 or 4 years, and winning every race they enter, especially here at Phillip Island. Jonathan Ray's won like 5 out of the last 6 races. Well, they've changed the rules around a little bit now to drop the rev capacity of certain bikes, and the Kawasaki lost a lot of RPM, 1,100 RPM they've revved less than last year, and that has certainly slowed them down. Both Kawasaki's made it onto the podium this time round, but they really had to work for it. They had a couple of offs, big offs, so both the boys were injured. Jonathan Ray was also very sick, which didn't help his cause. He drifted back in race one, but in race two, he managed to get on the podium. Tom Sykes, the other Kawasaki rider, got his best ever finish at Phillip Island with a second in race one. Can you believe that? He hasn't won a race there yet. Wow. Probably due to his teammate more than anything.
Yeah, but he looked great doing it.
The big news of the weekend, though, was Marco Melandri finally got the quartet that he's been looking for. He won in 125, he's won in 250, he's won in MotoGP, but he's never won in World Superbike. And finally, he got a win in race one on the Ducati. So that was his first win ever on a superbike. And what that means is that he's won in every class he's ever competed in at Phillip Island. And then he backed it up again the next day by, you know, winning again. So that was a pretty good result for Ducati down there.
Awesome. Yeah, I know Ducati had a fantastic weekend. In fact, I was just talking to the boys over at Ducati Austin last week, and they were talking about how the Panigale in superbikes was still going to be running the twin instead of the four cylinder like that's just come out, and they were really expecting to have a good year. Mark was telling me, he said, man, he's expecting Ducati to have a really good year in superbikes. So it looks like it's starting off right.
Well, I had breakfast with Marco Melandri on the Wednesday morning before the event. We sat down and we got talking about that race that I was telling you about at the start of the show, the Phillip Island Classic. And I said to him, I said, maybe you can come. I said, have you heard of it? And he goes, oh, yes, it's world famous. Of course I've heard of it. And I said, well, maybe you can come and ride for Australia. And he said, no, I've got to win the World Superbike Championship. And on top of that, I said, well, that'll be pretty easy next year with the V4 Panigale. He said, no, I'm going to win it this year. Then he went on to win 2 races. So it was a pretty good breakfast for him.
That's cool. Yeah, not bad. Not a bad start. Well, so what are you expecting, Steve? You know, I mean, I know it's first race, first weekend. I mean, are what we're seeing this weekend in Superbikes, are we expecting that to carry out throughout the season? I mean, what are you thinking for the rest of the season? What's your predictions?
Well, I guess what nobody wants to see is a Ducati winning all year long and a Kawasaki winning all year long, like it's been in the last couple of years. And that's why they've changed the rules. Initially at the start, what they've done is they've dropped revs off the Ducati, they've dropped them off the Kawasaki, the ones that are the most competitive. But there's another rule on top of that, and it's quite technical, it's more deep than this, but the easy version is if a manufacturer, let's just choose Kawasaki, wins 3 races in a row, then they can have their revs dropped again by Dorna, the governing body. So, you know, it gets slower and slower. So they slow down whoever wins the most gets their bike slowed down. So eventually it'll get to a point where other manufacturers will start winning throughout the year. And, you know, it's going to be even more exciting. So it's going to be a great thing. The other thing that we know is that Phillip Island, although it's a great track, one of the best in the world, it's never really sets the scene for what happens throughout the rest of the year. I mean, they're heading to Buriam in Thailand in a few weeks. It's going to be hot and humid there. It could even rain. So once again, you know, it might suit the different characteristics of another manufacturer or rider. This year, I'm hoping that it's going to be really, really mixed up. I had a lot of time and talk also with Eugene Laverty, who's the Milwaukee Aprilia rider. He said that his bike, the rules have certainly helped the Aprilia this year, and I don't know if you saw the races or not, but he was leading there for a while until he flew over the handlebars and crashed out. But, you know, I saw him after the race and I said, well, you know, even though you crashed out, you've got to be happy with that because, you know, that's the most competitive the Aprilia's been in a long time. And, yeah, even though he was limping, he was pretty happy to, you know, say that. Other notable news is also Jake Gagne has joined the Red Bull Honda squad. He had his first ever ride in the World Superbike, his first ever ride in the full season on the World Superbike, I should say. And, you know, he found it difficult. Phillip Island's a difficult track to learn, that's for sure. But he's sort of adapted well. He didn't finish one of the races, but he really did manage to come to grips with everything. And I think we're going to see him moving up through the field throughout the year as well. Especially when they get to America, a track that he knows. I think, you know, you want to go and support him at Laguna Seca there.
Hey, Steve. Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, Jono.
Yes,
Jono.
I do definitely want to talk. Yeah, I want to talk about a little bit about Jake Gagne, and I want to talk about also PJ Jacobson, who's moved up, who's our little protege that we've known since he was a little boy, as it were. But I want to talk handlebars for a second. What's with that mustache with Laverty? I think that could be the reason why he fell over the handlebars, isn't it?
You know what? I wasn't brave enough to ask him about that. I kept on like trying. I was drawn to that. So then I was looking in his eyes, and like he was looking at me a bit weird. So I didn't know where to look. He really does need to do something about it. I don't know. I'm not a fashion guru, Jono. But I think that Laverty's probably. He lives in Monaco, so you would think maybe that is the Monaco look. I don't know. I haven't been there for a while.
He looks like the lead singer of the Sparks.
Why don't you send him over a Texas cowboy outfit? And I reckon he'd wear that. And I reckon he'd make a good-looking Texan, good-looking American, would that Laverty kid? Hey,
nice
on the Aprilia and Laverty, I just want to quickly talk about also Savadori, his teammate. He, if you remember, Jono, Savadori in 2014 when we were at World Superbike, he was going to win the World Super Stock Championship and fell off on the last corner of the last lap and didn't win. Remember that at Manicora? He didn't win. So anyway, now he's a factory Aprilia rider and he's going fast. He was very, very fast, leading at one point throughout qualifying, but he fell off and broke his collarbone in two places. So didn't really get show what he could do this year.
What about PJ Jacobson? Because I know he had a crash, but he's moved up to Superbikes. Tell us a little bit about that and what else do you think Jake Gagne's chances are on that Honda? How good is it?
Well, you know what? The Honda, of course, it was a new model last year, so there's a lot of development still to come from that bike. Last year was a terrible year for the Red Bull Honda team with the passing of Hayden. So you know, last year wasn't a good year for them at all. Onwards and forwards, they've got Gagne in there now. The other guy, as you say, PJ Jacobson, he's moved up to Superbike. I guess he's got a few more difficulties because, A, it's a privateer team. It's the Triple M team. But it's a brand new team into the paddocks. So the team are finding their feet. They're trying to work on a bike that's new. And, you know, they just can't go to Red Bull and say, well, give us a setup that works because Red Bull themselves are now fully in the development mode. The one thing that I do know is I went out on track. On the two testing days in the Siberia Corner. I know we've been there many times, Jono, standing on the inside there watching the bikes come out. Everyone was looking smooth, but Gagne, I don't know what his history is, but I bet you it's got something to do with sliding, dirt track or something, because he was, man, was he getting that thing sideways. And it was looking
he's a surfer.
Like, he was, is that what it is? Yeah, well, same. Yeah. He honestly looked like he was surfing that bike out of the corner because it was moving all over the place, and he was doing some pretty radical moves on it to try and keep it upright, which he managed to do. But he needs to smooth his style out for a superbike, especially that one, because it's definitely not the easiest one to ride.
All right. Hey, boys, we need to put a pause in the action here because we've got to do a quick commercial break.
That's not easy to do with these
That's
two.
That's not easy
to do. I was
about
to say, you did put me and Steve on the same airwaves again.
That's true. It's true. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more World Superbikes and throw in a little MotoGP. But we're going to talk some Formula One because the cars are hitting the track in now 6 hours and 43 minutes. Over the pond. So stick with us. You're listening to Speed City live in Austin. Back after these messages.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Texas's only authorized dealer for Superformance products. Superformance's Mark III is the only Cobra replica built under license from Carroll Shelby. There's no finer example of a Cobra around. Mosing and Superformance is your supplier for all the great race cars of history. The GT40, the Mark III Cobra, the Corvette Grand Sport, and the Shelby Cobra Daytona Coupe. Mosing Motor Cars, 2420 West Breaker Lane, online at mosingmotorcars.com. Superformance and Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education for 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Welcome back to Speed City. We're excited because we're talking some World Superbikes and MotoGP because we got Mr. Steve Martin, the 2009 World Endurance Champion for the Yamaha Austria Racing Team on the phone. And live from Australia, we also got Jonathan Green with us, and me and Les are in the studio. But
you know, we haven't had the chance to see Jonathan Green dance to Bruno Mars yet.
Yeah, that was Bruno Mars, who's going to be at Formula One, of course, here in Austin.
Hey, Steve, I've got to interrupt and interject just a little bit here. So you heard our title sponsor there. I know Steve is into Mustangs.
Hang on. Let me interject here. I'm just because I was just listening to the list of adverts you've got there, and I tell you what, I'm pretty, you know, I feel like going out and buying a Ducati from Ducati Austin. I want to go to Mosig Motors, and yeah, you know, I've got a Mustang, I'm into my muscle cars big time, and that place sounds absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And then I heard the rally. I mean, we don't have a rally place over here. What's going on? You guys have got it sorted out there.
I tell you what, next week I think we're gonna try to talk global rallycross. Because it's coming Texas.
Yeah. Coming to Austin, man. Coming to Dakota. You heard about that, Steve?
I haven't, but I know, I've got a good mate who's into rallycross, actually. Jonathan Green. I don't know if you've ever heard of him before.
Vaguely.
Yeah, tell him about it, Jonathan. Uh-oh. We may have lost.
He's got him disconnected because he's never speechless.
So,
oh, thank goodness for that.
So, yeah, Steve, so Circuit of the Americas is building a track right now for Rallycross out on the property. It's already looking great. And it is it's going to be the stop at the end of September, 3 weeks before Formula One. Tell you what, Steve, why don't you just spend from April to like October with us this year?
Yeah, there we go.
I'd love to do that. All you need to do is talk my family into it, and I'll be happy. I mean, like, it's, you know, it's just a matter of, it's really crazy. I mean, like, yesterday, you know, like, you're counting down to MotoGP, to the F1 testing, like, less than 12 hours ago, I was interviewing Marco Melandri on the grid and talking to, you know, all the superbike riders and getting the interviews with them after the races when they're on the podium, and it was great. But this morning here, I'm just like, you know, slapping my kids about, getting them to get to school and doing the dirty washing. So everything's back to normal here now.
The life of a superstar.
Yeah. Doing the World Superbike for Fox Sports, and the next morning you're doing laundry and getting kids off to breakfast.
That's great. That's great.
Well, Steve, I want to...
I love it, but I will say...
Go ahead.
One thing is that... I did take my kids to school in my 1965 Mustang this morning, and there's not many of those around in Australia, so the school love it when I go there. It's got straight through pipes, and it's really loud, and I always give it a bit of a rev.
Awesome.
So, folks, yeah, what Steve's talking about is not just a Mustang. I mean, yes, it's a fastback Mustang, but it's a K-Code. That's the one step from a Shelby. And so, you know, they're pretty rare even stateside, but in Australia, that's like way better than any Ferrari or Lamborghini that rolls by.
Yeah, the Ferrari guys don't look at me so much, funnily enough.
Yeah, I bet not. Well, Steve, while we're waiting on Jonathan to get back connected and we talk a little more two wheels, I know you know Formula One, and I know that being a competitor like you are, you know what these guys are going through right now, and everybody's Hello. About to start to, hey, Jonathan's back.
Maybe he
well,
did
I'll
just think
what,
of something
I'll
to say.
I'll tell you what they're going through. I'll tell you what they're going through right now, 6 hours before they're about to get into that car. Then Jonathan can tell you all the ins and outs. But right now, these guys, they're nervous. It's the start of the most important year of their life for all of them. Every year is the most important year. You know, there's changes, rule changes. There's a lot of talk in the paddock, and, you know, everything needs to be put straight. Egos, it's all of that sort of stuff as they head out onto the track for the first time. Nobody really knows who's going to sit where. They're all hoping that they've got the fastest car. It's you know, this is probably the most important run out of the year for bragging rights.
Well, I know that there's a tremendous amount of stories about what's going to happen and what everybody's excited for. But I know, you know, for me, the biggest one is how Haas is going to do, of course, our American Formula One team. But right after that, for me, one of the most exciting things is going to be watching how McLaren does with the new Renault engine and, you know, with Alonso behind a machine, the wheel of a machine that's got some reliability. But I think, would you agree that's got to be one of the big stories?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, that's what this season is all about. It's about, you know, taking the excuses away from the drivers. And I guess now that, you know, there is that reliability for Alonso, that excuse is gone. So now he's got to perform.
Yeah, that's true. The pressure's on. Jonathan, I know you have been at the start of many a season, but what are you expecting for tomorrow? I mean, I know it's start of the season. It's testing. But still, it's so exciting to have cars on track.
Yeah, and I agree with Steve. I think this is always a critical time of the year because no one really knows who's got what. There's been quite a few rule changes, and there's been quite a few shenanigans when it comes to engines. My biggest interest will be, yes, how good Haas are. I think it's the prettiest car for sure, so they've won that game. And I think they've done a big leap forward. But the question remains Renault. Renault have got a big target on their back. They've got their own team, and they've got two fast young drivers. But they've given their engine their factory engine to two of the most successful teams in Formula One. And when I say given, they've had Red Bull for 10 years and they've got Red Bull again. But they've now given it to McLaren, and McLaren are desperate to bounce back. And I'm here in New Zealand, where McLaren was born, and there's a lot of excitement over here for what they can do and a lot of anticipation. But the question mark is, will Renault actually be able to beat the two teams it supplied? So in other words, how good is its chassis compared to McLaren's and Red Bull's? Because Red Bull have had plenty of time to develop it. They've got Adrian Newey back. It should be, and it looks like a beautiful machine. But that's my big question mark, is just how good Renault can be versus Ferrari. And as we know, Ferrari are also backing Haas. So it's going to be interesting.
You know, Jonathan, just a quick question on, Jonathan, from me. I'm not heavily into F1, but if Renault are supplying other people engines, do they have to be the same specification, or can Renault have an engine that's a little bit better?
Well, that is a very good question, because, as you well know, in Superbikes and MotoGP, it's generally the factory that gets the best stuff first, and you'd think that Renault will want to do it that way. But with the size that, I mean, you remember how Red Bull were castigated by, how Renault were castigated by Red Bull over the years. And then last year, the engine started to perform at the same sort of level as Ferrari and Mercedes. So I think, like I said, they're damned if they do, damned if they don't, because their investment is probably not as big as Red Bull's. So they want Renault as an engine manufacturer to win. And Red Bull's probably its best chance of winning, because the Enstone Renault factory is much smaller. But it's a very good question. And like I said, it's a double-edged sword how they actually supply those and how open they are to work with those teams. Already Renault have said that they're really enjoying working with McLaren, because it's just a different operation.
Well, you know what, boys? We've got all of these guys are going to be on the track in Catalunya, Barcelona, for Monday through Thursday. But, you know, one thing I want to talk about, you talk about the engines, but the cars themselves, I've been looking really closely at all the different cars. And the thing that's striking me is they've made some pretty significant aerodynamic changes, the way the cars are shaped, particularly the side pods. It seems like, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but the side pods look smaller. Like when you're looking at the car straight on, right?
Right.
The air inlets, they look smaller than they did last year on multiple cars. And I don't know what's different. I was particularly noticing on the McLaren. I thought, well, is it because of the Renault engine is different than the Honda, and it's the way the airflow? But then I noticed it on more than one car. So I don't know what's changed. I don't know if there's, you know, I don't know, but it sure seems like a whole bunch of them have quite a different shape to the cars too.
I mean, are you asking me?
Yeah, Jonathan, sure, jump in.
I think that's a reaction to last year's new tires. I think remember they went bigger on the tires.
Yep, bigger, much wider. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that they've now had a year to develop them. They've also got more tires. They've got more choice of tires this year. So there's up to 7 sets now they can pick from. So I think that maybe that's what you're saying, is a combination of the development of working with those tires, adding the halo, which is going to make a big difference to weight. So they've upped the weight a little bit, and they may be trying to, you know, downsize on the side pods, or at least weight wise, and also work with the tires better. That's my theory anyway, but I'll put my John Massengale, Adrian Newey hat on and tell you to look at that one over the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because the way the side pods, so the being different, I mean, being smaller with less air going inside, they've also got more air coming around the car, maybe even under the car, and just the way all that goes. I don't know if it is. That makes sense, though, Jonathan, with the bigger, wider tires and all the higher G-forces they're pulling.
Well, you know, they also, you know, we teased it that we figured out where the Ducati winglets went onto the Williams.
Yeah.
But honestly, I have not seen any photos showing that area in close enough detail to see if those winglets are still back there below the dorsal.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one for you, boys. I was talking about Renault. Renault launched their digital picture of their car this week, And in fact, it was last year's car painted up as this year's car. So they haven't actually shown what their car looks like yet. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting day because there's definitely some espionage in a good way going on in Formula One because Renault didn't want to show their car or they hadn't finished it.
Yeah. All right. Well, boys, we got to take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue all these discussions. Listen to Speed City Live in Austin, Texas. And we're going to just do these quick messages and we'll be back with you.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born, where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin exotic, iconic automobiles whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road. Dirtfish Rally School is the nation's most prestigious driving school, offering 7 days a week, year-round driver education from 15-year-olds with no driving experience to amateur racers and professional drivers. Our professional instructors never judge a student based on who they are, where they're from, or their driving background. We'll keep you and your family safe, on the road, or better, at the racetrack. Feel confident behind the wheel, no matter the situation, no matter what you've done or where you've done it or how well you've done it. We'll make you better.
Voice.
Hi there, my name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
All right, welcome back to Speed City. We are really excited because we got Steve Martin on the line, who spent many years in World Superbikes and is down there in Australia for the voice of Fox Sports for World Superbikes and MotoGP. And so, and we also got Jonathan down in New Zealand, of course. You'll be, hey, Jonathan, you'll be back in the States next week, man. What is it? When do you leave? You leave tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving tonight. Yeah, so basically tomorrow your time because I'm a day ahead of you. So I'll be back Monday, yeah, and looking forward to getting back in the groove of Austin, Texas.
All right, well, I want you two guys to talk a little MotoGP. What are you thinking this year, Steve? Are you thinking that we're going to see a lot of what we did last year? Or what about all the players?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a crazy year this year in MotoGP for sure. I mean, you've got to think that Marc Marquez is obviously, you know, the one to watch. It looks like the Honda at the moment is also very competitive at the test at Buriram in Thailand that they had a couple of weeks ago. The Honda was fastest in every session, but it was Danny Pedrosa that was overall fastest, believe it or not. So it's going to be an interesting year to see how, you know, that all pans out. On top of that, though, I guess the biggest story for me and the conundrum is still Ducati. I mean, their 2018 model bike at Sepang, Jorge Lorenzo gets on it and does the fastest ever lap time around the circuit. And then he goes to the next track, and before you know it, he is like the last guy on the track, 2 seconds off the pace. So, you know, like there's a bit of infighting already in the MotoGP paddock in between Ducati with all the head boffins there saying, well, if he can't get within a second or 0.3 of a second of the fastest guys, how can he be blaming the bike? It's got to be a rider problem. For the Australian side of things, Jack Miller looks like he's going to be having a good year. He's always in the top five or six. He's moved from Honda onto Ducati and it seems that he suits the riding style of that bike. Of course, the Ducati's always been a bit different to ride. Guys like Valentino Rossi couldn't figure out how to do it. He went there for a couple of years and moved back to Yamaha. In testing, of course, he hasn't gone too badly. But once again, you've got to ask yourself, you know, is the light dimming on Valentino Rossi's, you know, story? Because he was 10th, basically, overall in the testing, which means that, you know, it's not where we're used to seeing Rossi. While he's out there, though, you know, you've got to believe that he thinks he can get a win this year. So I I hope he does.
What about Zarco? I mean, he's been one of the new, you know, the up-and-comers coming out of Moto2, you know, champion and everything. What about Johann Zarco?
Yeah, well, I think Johann Zarco is a pain in the butt for Yamaha because he's too fast on you know, whatever, you know, the Yamaha riders say is no good. Oh, yeah, no, the 18 bike is no good. Zarco gets on it and goes faster. So that doesn't look good for the factory Yamaha, which was why I asked Jonathan that F1 story before, you know, about the engines and that. Because in MotoGP, yes, Zarco is a factory Yamaha rider, but he always has one or two versions behind the factory guys. The factory guys have the latest winglets, they have the latest fairings and the latest engines and, you know, electronics before they go to the Tech 3 team. Another interesting thing that has just happened as well, I don't know Tech if you 3. Guys follow closely MotoGP over there or not, is that the Tech 3 team is actually changing from Yamaha next year to KTM.
Yeah.
Big story, that. So what's behind that's going that to be, thing?
Well, I guess the thing is it's a bit of a backstory to what I was just talking about before. The fact that, you know, while they're with Yamaha, they're always going to be receiving second-best, third-best equipment. When they go to KTM, they will have full factory support. And if their riders, whoever they are, they're not confirmed at the moment, but if their riders say, we want a pink seat cover, they will get a pink seat cover, where that's just not the case at the moment at Yamaha. So they can, you know, they can effectively become a developmental team and work in a way that they want to. So I guess for Hervé Poncharel, the team owner there at Tech 3, it's a dream of his. It's going to mean that he's finally, for the first time, going to become a factory team, which is, you know, it's a big thing in MotoGP world.
Steve, I got a question for you. You mentioned Ducati, and we watched, obviously, with our sponsors, a big part of what we do at Speed City. We follow Ducati very closely. And last year, it looked as though they turned a corner. And, of course, they took on Lorenzo, who struggled. But I just wonder, and as a fellow Australian, probably the only Australian who's faster than Stoner around Phillip Island, whether you can ask me, whether you can tell me whether the Stoner factor is what's missing out of Ducati. Is it because it's such a precise car, I mean, such a precise bike that, you know, the only way you get the best out of it is to have a rider that, of Stoner's kind of capabilities?
Well, you know, Stoner was a cowboy. He rode the bike like a rodeo. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was like, he had the thing sliding all over the place. It didn't actually matter how the bike handled because it was never in a straight line. It was always like left, right, spinning, wheeling, nose wheeling. It was out of control. It was awesome to watch. It was a great display. Lorenzo is a completely different rider for that. He needs everything to be right. He needs the stars to be aligned. He needs to be in the right mood. He needs to get out of bed on the right side. He needs the tyres to be right. He needs to have a good trip into the circuit and, you know, put the right helmet on and do it up the right way. When all that happens, he is absolutely unbeatable. But there's you compare that to Dovizioso. Dovizioso is a little bit easier going. You know, like, you know, he can catch the taxi or ride a push bike to the track and still, you know, get on and do the job. And that's the thing, is that Dovizioso last year was a sensational rider. He proved what the Ducati could do week in, week out. He almost probably even won more races than Honda, I think. If not, it was very similar. Just had a bit of bad luck here at Phillip Island, actually, where for whatever reason, the Ducatis were just off the pace. They're still scratching their heads about that one. But if he had had a good weekend here, he would have been the world champion. So there's nothing essentially wrong with the bike. I mean, Jack Miller's got on the Ducati and gone well. You know, Ducati are so confident in the V4 format now that they've had in MotoGP for all of those years that, there's, as you know, there's the new V4 Panigale coming out, which is heavily, you know, takes the development from the MotoGP bike. So you can effectively get now that, you know, GP feel as a road bike. That, I don't know if they've come out in America yet, but they're certainly almost hitting the shores here. that had the world launch. It's a reality now.
Yeah, Steve, I was talking to the guys last week at Ducati Austin. They said they've got a ton of pre-orders already. They've a whole bunch of them, they said. And that's going to be a huge, I mean, it's such a huge story, right, with the four-cylinder now. But, I mean, you'd be a good person to talk about this. I mean, how close to a MotoGP bike is this going to, I mean, I know World Superbike is real close, but how close to a MotoGP bike is this street bike going to be?
Well, it's you know, there's still going to be a massive difference. But lap time difference between World Superbike and MotoGP bike. So from a road bike to the MotoGP bike, a big difference. But if you take that bike and then hot it up a little bit, not much difference at all.
Like a superbike, so yeah.
Effectively, a World Superbike is a road bike, hot it up. And that is what makes a MotoGP bike. You're going to have probably, you know, a second or a second and a half difference, but it's definitely going to be a hell of a lot faster than anything. But what Ducati will make sure of is that the performance of the bike is incredible. I've already spoken to some of the testers that have ridden the bike. Michael Neves from MCN went to the world launch. My editor for the magazine I wrote for, he's also ridden it, and they just say that you get on that bike and bear in mind that they've ridden every other model of 1,000cc bike there is that Ducati, of course, is coming in two versions as well. I think the 1100 version is the road version, then there's a race version which is 1,000, but the 1100 version is it's just incredible. It's going to wipe the doors and set a new bar, and that's the only reason Ducati would bring it out, is if they were going to set a new bar. They would never bring it out to make it the same as, like, the bikes that are out there. It's going to be big news when it hits the showroom floor.
Man, it's so exciting. Those guys at Ducati are just going crazy over there with all the excitement from this bike, because, I mean, it's obviously an insane street-performing bike. What is it, less 200 horsepower?
Yeah, it's up a little more than that nowadays. And so it's going to be great to see it come out. Somebody said, you know, the Panigale's become long in the tooth, and it's time for a refresh. Well, we've got it.
That's awesome.
You say the Panigale's long in the tooth. I just want to remind you that less than 12 hours ago, it just won two World Superbike races with Mark and Landry.
It's hard to argue, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, good point, Steve.
I think maybe they're just tired of seeing the same thing. I don't know.
It's long in the tooth in a production, you know, in a marketing. And I mean, can you imagine taking your average person and going, you tell me the difference between these two bikes, you know, on the street? It's not going to happen. So. But you got to have bragging rights and bench racing rights and all that stuff. But yeah, so well, boys, we do need to take a break. But when we come back, we're gonna get the studio completely crowded, because we have another guest on the line, because we got Kai Gwynn on the phone from Circuit of the Americas talking about the new karting that's going on out at Circuit of the Americas.
Oh, and it's cool.
Yeah, so stick with us to hear about that. You're listening to Speed City Live in Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Mosing Motor Cars is Central Texas's source for classic performance cars. British, German, Italian, Japanese, and American. Ready for that special car you've always dreamed of? Mosing has you covered. Looking to sell a classic? Let Mosing handle all the details and get that special vehicle in the hands of the right buyer. Visit the showroom at 2420 West Breaker Lane or call 512-821-9491 or browse the garage online at mosingmotorcars.com. Mosing Motor Cars. Drive yourself happy.
Listen to your favorite shows. Keep up with the latest breaking news and more anytime at talk1370.com. Talk 1370, the right choice.
This is Alex Gurney. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City, presented by Mosing Motor Cars.
Well, speaking of Bruno Mars bringing us back, we got our next guest from Circuit of the Americas. Bruno Mars, of course, going to be playing Formula One this year. But our next guest is from Circuit of the Americas because they've been doing something. They've made a little adjustments out in the parking lot. Les, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Little adjustments, big adjustments. So if you were here at Formula One, you saw some commotion going on over in Lot A. Well, it is completely finished now. It is a world-class karting track out there. The service is primo. They even striped it like on the circuit.
I know. It looks like a mini circuit. It's awesome.
It does. It's great. And so, I had to check it out. They're finally ready to talk publicly about what the big plan is. So my buddy Kai is going to get us caught up. Evening, Kai. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you guys for having me on.
You bet.
Thanks for coming on.
So we've been drooling on the kart layout out there. Give us the lowdown on everything that is kart related. What's going on?
Well, we obviously, like I said, we debuted for Formula One, trying to get it out there, let people know that we had something coming up. And now it is finished. We're finishing up. We are looking to open up in the middle of March every day. We'll be open 7 days a week, roughly 10 hours a day. We have lots going on with it. It's a 13-turn track with it. It's painted to match the big track. So, we're trying to keep all of the pros of having the big racetrack with it, following on with the track here as far as karting goes. We are offering different levels of it. So you have your junior, your rookie, and your champ karts. And we are also doing a little bit different things than what people are allowing at different other tracks. Here, we're allowing kids to graduate classes. So our champ class requires a driver license. And those do 50 to 55 miles an hour on the track, so we're requiring the driver license on that. But we're giving racing classes, racing leagues. We're pretty much doing all of it and allowing people to graduate and kind of offer a full driving experience here at COTA.
This is what we've been looking for. All the young kids that talk about getting into racing.
The stories start there.
Yeah, every single big race driver starts with his story in karting. And now here in Austin at Circuit of the Americas, we've got that place for kids to start. I mean, and Kai, I know you guys have spent a lot of time getting this thing ready, but don't you agree that this is, and is this track as good as any karting track anywhere, but this is where kids can start to go throughout their motorsports career?
Exactly. That's kind of what, like you said, everybody starts here. All the big racers, this is where they all start. And what better place to have that than on an actual circuit? That's kind of one of the biggest pros that we have for everyone else. There's plenty of karting tracks out there, but you're not going to get that feel of being able to learn how to race on the actual circuit track as well.
So what about the ages? As you talk about the different classes, but what's the ages? And I know there's even some height requirements.
So we don't really have ages. As far as what it goes for is the height. The height is 48 inches, and you're allowed to get into our junior karts. And then our rookie and champ karts, you will have to at least be 4'10". So if you're at least 4'10", and then as far as the champ karts, like I said, they will have to have 16, I guess. Maybe we do for car, just sorry about that. 16 with a driver license and a parental waiver to allow them to race on that. But like I was saying earlier, we're also offering a racing academy once we open up here. So we'll teach you how to go through all the apexing, braking, everything, the whole nine yards. And if you come and take that class and you're racing in the rookie class and you know, say you're a 14-year-old kid and you're faster than everybody else and you want to be able to race into the champ carts and your parents want to allow it, well, then you come take our racing academy. You get a good lap time, one of the lap times that are, you know, higher lap times that we set up there. Then we allow you to get a COTA racing license, which if the parents sign off on it, then we allow them to race in the champ carts as well.
Les, I'll sign off for you, Les, and I'll be your parental guardian.
Thanks, but who's going to sign up for Jonathan?
That's a good question.
Well, Kai, tell us how to find it. I'm assuming on the website.
Yes. So on the website of Circuit America's website, we are actually working on our website right now for COTA karting. It'll be under the venue tab, and it'll have its own thing. Once you click on there, you'll be able to book races online, see what we have going on. We're going to offer the suites up here that we usually sell out for Formula One on an average day. Somebody can come up here and rent them out as party rooms. The Velocity will be open. We'll be serving food. Like I said, awesome. Everything will be either via mobile app. We have a COTA karting app that's out, so you can check on times, buy gift cards, challenge friends to come and race, the whole nine yards.
Awesome. I'm looking at it right now, circuitoftheamericas.com/karting, where you've got a little bit of information, including the rules, regs, and the waivers that you can download and sign all those. Well, Kai, thanks for coming on, buddy.
Speed City Grand Prix in the making.
Yeah,
again.
There we go. Well, Kai, thanks for coming on, man. We really appreciate it. And we will see you soon, I'm sure.
Yes. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All righty. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, man. I think we ought to get you, me, and Jonathan out there and
we're going to get Steve up here to moderate and commentate.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Steve's a good carter.
Uh-oh.
You done a little karting,
yeah.
Steve?
Guys.
Yeah.
This was not a good show for you to get me to come on to. Now, like, you've rubbed it in with the Mosig, the Caddy, the MV. Now you've told me you've got one of the best go-kart circuits in the world. Thanks a lot, guys.
We're trying to get you up here, Steve.
You know, it's working.
All right, boys. Well, we are now, let's look at the clock. We are now 6 hours and 7 minutes away from Formula One hitting the in Barcelona, hitting the track with some cars testing. And, you know, they've announced all the drivers, but we still haven't seen a couple of the cars. There's still a couple of cars that have not done a reveal. So it's going to be a little bit more than just testing, But Jonathan, tell me what you're looking for this week from Formula One testing.
Well, obviously, all eyes have got to be on McLaren. I mean, it's been a disastrous few years. And like I said, you really feel it when you're in New Zealand, because obviously that's where it all began. So they got to bounce back. That's one story, obviously. And obviously, Alonso's not going to stick around unless they do. So that's one story for me. Can Mercedes keep the pressure on? Will they drop the ball? How good will Bottas bounce back? We know that Hamilton is continued to be motivated, but how good will they be? And obviously, I really want to know just how good the Toro Rosso is going to be, because I think that could be the quiet, rumbling story, because Honda, after 4 years of basically throwing it away, have got a real reason to bounce back and create finally get that engine to fruition and start to do with Brendan Hartley something special. So I'm really interested to see how they go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thought. That's going to be interesting to watch. So, you know, the big thing is, of course, they've got so little time in Formula One to do testing. I mean, this is hugely important because there's so little time that they get to do to put cars on track before racing.
Exactly. And it's going to be interesting. Australia, it's a really weird one. Australia, and Steve will tell you this from Phillip Island, you know, Australia Formula One is a bit like Phillip Island in bikes, is that you can't tell everything, but you can get an indication of what it's going to be like as a season. I think it's going to be a mighty season, especially in the midfield battle. I think Haas, Force India, Toro Rosso, and McLaren and Renault are all going to be together on track. And I think that could be an almighty battle. That's going to be probably more interesting than watching the battle at the front between Mercedes and, I expect, Red Bull.
Yeah, Steve, I want to get your
Jonathan,
take on all
just
this.
Quickly,
yeah.
Well, yeah, I just want to ask Jonathan a quick question. I mean, he mentioned before about the tyres. Obviously, I used to be a Pirelli tyre tester a long time ago, and you were saying that they've bought in a whole load of new compounds and that now. What are they hoping to achieve by doing that? I mean, do they just not want to drive around and have them all slipping around, or is Pirelli trying to actually give some tyres that work better on different cars?
I really don't know. They've gone from 5 sets to 7 sets, and they're also making less engines. They're only allowed, I think, 3 engines this year. I really don't know the answer to that. I know that the compounds that they've chosen, the Pirellis that they've chosen, are more softer, which means that you could probably go faster, but for less long. And you, like you say, you're a Pirelli test rider in your day. You know exactly what that means, and you know that Pirelli can make a tire to last for 4 days or 3 laps. And of course, yeah. Formula One has forced Pirelli to make shorter and shorter length times of basically optimal tire. And so I think that you may get a situation where they're trying to create a chance where a tire can be quick for 10 laps, but then you have to come in and change it.
The other question I've got just quickly is why have some of the teams, you know, they're going to be on track in about 6 hours. Why are they so scared of letting the other teams see their new car? Is there a reason behind that, or is it just the way it is?
No, I, to be honest, I think, you know, what do they say? Imitation is flattery. I think that, honestly, anybody who's got something special, and we only have to look back to the days of Braun F1 with Jenson Button's World Championship and the diffusers, they came out and they stole the show, won all the races, and became world champions because they did something different that nobody else had thought of. So the longer you can keep your car under wraps, the better, especially if you've got something innovative. And I think we're at that stage now where, you know, to beat Mercedes, you're going to have to pull something out your butt, as they say.
Yeah. On our track down here, of course, you know, the F1 is obviously coming here first off. I just want to let you guys know that it's a street circuit, as you know. They are actually starting to build it all up at the moment. So it is, as Ooh, we yeah. speak. The bollards and things are being, it's really quite, you know, being living in Melbourne at this time of year, it's just crazy because, you know, like roads are starting to get blocked off. The buzz starts really early because they actually have to make the track and block roads off. We love it down here. You know, it's really good having that road circuit. Obviously, you know, it gets a great, you know, turnout as well. So, just sort of let you know that.
I'm excited.
Yeah, man. Steve, you stole my question because I know that it's got to be getting exciting down there with what are we now, 20-something days, under 30 days left to Australia. Well, boys, we've had a blast with this show tonight, and we are running out of time. But, of course, we're going to try to get Steve up here to do some karting.
I think so.
And, Steve, I think maybe we should put you in, pit you and Jonathan against each other as well.
Oh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because, like, he's been telling me for the last 15 years that he's faster than me. I just don't think that.
All right, guys.
I think that's only in talking.
There's only one way to settle this, but we got to go, boys. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you coming on, Steve. I appreciate it. Jonathan, we'll see you in person next week, man. Very excited to have you back. Thanks for tuning in to Speed City tonight. Check us out on our website, Speed City Broadcast, and talk to you the same time next Sunday night.
Ciao, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.